The following podcast is edited from the live Voices of Montana program, Montana's original statewide radio talk show that's heard Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. The show has been airing for more than 20 years. Contact your local radio station if you'd like to hear the program live in your area and it's currently not available. The show is also streamed live on voicesofmontana.com. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program, inviting you to contact us with comments or show ideas. The email address is studio@voicesofmontana.com. Well, that was pretty big news released yesterday on the tobacco settlement, money that big tobacco was holding back from the states. That's now going to ring, at least in Montana's register, to the tune of $100 million. Montana's Attorney General Tim Fox, who helped orchestrate that deal, is going to be on today to talk about that. We'll talk about also maybe investigating big tech. A lot of things on that plate when it comes to our Attorney General. And then a bit later on, it's healthcare. We're hearing how it's open enrollment season. So we'll talk about what that means, but also get into what are your options when it comes to healthcare in Montana. Very much a rural healthcare landscape. That and more today on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio. From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now here's your host, Tom Schultz.
Thank you very much, Josh. I got to say, I love having Josh Rath in studio here, a good radio guy, good engineer. And he's somebody, I'd like to have the live announcement. He's somebody who can, he throws something out there on a pretty regular basis, and it's kind of fun.
National Farm Joke Day.
National Farm Joke. Do you have a farm joke?
No, I'm sorry.
Let's see if Tim Fox does.
Yeah, I'm sure Tim does.
He might, but he might not be able to tell it. Tim Fox is on our program here today. As I mentioned, a lot to talk about. Let me back up a little bit with Richard Miltenberger. He's with the Mountain Health Co-op, and to be alongside a bit later on. We're talking, you know, open enrollment. What does that mean? It means actually it's time for you to consider some new options. But, man, that landscape seems to change an awful lot when it comes to health care. You kind of look at what's going on with Obamacare. It's before the Supreme Court. That thing is just a huge, clunky boat, and it leaves a big wake. And this wake can roll over the landscape of medical insurance, and it has. And so we're going to look a little bit more at maybe Obamacare. We're going to look at rural health care in Montana a bit later on. But first, let's welcome our friend, Montana's Attorney General Tim Fox, to Voices of Montana. Sir, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Tom. Thanks for having me on the show. It's a great day to be a Montanan, and I do have a farmer joke.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Well, you know, you want me to tell it now?
Well, can you tell it? I mean,
it's in good taste. You know,
radio friendly farmer joke.
Yeah. No, I have a farmer friend named John over there in eastern Montana, near where I grew up in Hardin, and he got in trouble with Montana Wage and Hour Department about the wages he was paying his employees, and so they contacted him. That's not in my office, by the way, but I heard about this. They contacted him, and they said they wanted a list of his employees and how much he pays them. And he replied saying, well, you know, there's my ranch hand who's been with me for 3 years. I pay him $600 a week plus free room and board. The cook's been here about 18 months. I pay her $500 a week plus free room and board. Then there's the half-wit dumb nut who works about 18 hours every day and does about 90% of all the work around here. And he makes about $10 per week. But he pays his own room and board, and I buy him a bottle of bourbon every Saturday night. That's the guy I want to talk to, said the guy from the state. I want to talk to him. And, of course, the farmer said, well, that would be me. You knew that was coming, right?
That's almost a true story, though, I'll bet you.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for that, and thanks for this settlement. I think why don't you just launch into that? For me, I'm concerned, you know, as to how secure it is. But it was really good to kind of get this close, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. You know, prior administrations in the Attorney General's office had done some great work. Attorney General Joe Mazurek, back in the late 1990s, instead of joining a multi-state lawsuit out of state, decided to sue the tobacco companies who were very deceptive about the health problems with tobacco use. This was a national settlement. All 50 states and the territories participated in it. But we sued here in Montana because of the wisdom of Attorney General Joe Mazurek. Fast forward, the tobacco companies are required under this agreement called the Master Settlement Agreement to pay the state of Montana millions of dollars every year. And that money is used for various health-related work in out of the state, including tobacco cessation and children's health insurance. But they've been withholding 10% of that, claiming under the agreement that Montana has not diligently enforced its tobacco laws. We sued over year by year, and I settled the case in 2004 withholding. And during that litigation, we learned that their experts agreed that there was no evidence that Montana was not diligently enforcing. And based on that, we then pursued them this year with a lawsuit claiming that they wrongfully withheld dozens of years of payments totaling $43 million. And they buckled in and they settled. We got a net to Montana of $53.5 million. But even more so, we got them to agree in perpetuity that they would never again withhold any of the money that Montana is due. And for the first 10 years, they will not claim that Montana has not been diligently enforcing our tobacco laws. And so the $53.5 million, in addition to in the next 10 years, we estimate another $55 million. This is over $100 million for Montana in money that won't be contested in the future, and we won't have to continually go to court year after year to sue these tobacco companies. So this is huge. Yeah. Couldn't come at a better time, as you know, with the budget deficit from COVID-19. I've talked to Governor Bullock and Governor-elect Gianforte about the fact that this money, the $53.5 million, will be paid before the end of the year and will be available for the legislature to appropriate in 2021.
Going to take a quick break here, Tim, and I appreciate that. That's really good, concise background on that. I want to ask how you got it done, because dealing with big tobacco has not been anybody's favorite thing since 1998 when this settlement first came out. So we'll talk more with Montana's Attorney General Tim Fox here on Voices of Montana, from Montana, for Montana. Montana's Attorney General is with us here. A couple of things to catch up on. We'll talk about antitrust, maybe with big tech. But right now, more on this tobacco settlement. The tobacco companies were withholding about 10%, claiming states were not fully enacting their part of the contract, which was actually to enact a tobacco tax on companies not in this big settlement. And that big settlement included Philip Morris, R.J. Reynolds, Leggett, Lorillard Tobacco, and others. And they didn't have any proof of that. And our attorney generals called them out on it, and we got a settlement for Montana. Tim, thank you again for your work on this. Want to see how sure this is. It sounded like it because, you know, big tobacco, it loves to play their games when it comes to doling out this money. How did you manage to get this settlement in the first place, and then how secure is it?
Sure. So you're right about big tobacco. I mean, they make billions of dollars, and they have high paid attorneys, and they've been messing around with the states for years. And we're the only state that has received 100% of what we're owed plus additional money. And so this is real precedent setting for not only for Montana, but for a number of other states. Unfortunately, a lot of the other states have rolled over and settled with big tobacco for much less than they probably were due. There's a few states that haven't settled, and hopefully they can use this precedent in their negotiations. But I have to give credit to previous attorneys general, yeah. Joe Mazurek, who made the decision to file suit in Montana, Mike McGrath, who also pursued the tobacco companies, and Steve Bullock won a big victory in the Montana Supreme Court when he was attorney general. The tobacco companies argued that Montana had to arbitrate as a part of a national arbitration, which would have taken us out of state and mixed us up with everybody else. And Attorney General Steve Bullock at the time won a case there. The Montana Supreme Court said, no, Montana doesn't have to arbitrate. We won a case in the 2004 withholding litigation. We were able to get a ruling that they had the burden to prove that Montana had not diligently enforced our tobacco laws. That was huge. And during the course of that litigation, which we settled in 2018, we learned that their experts agreed with us that they had no proof. And so that's what precipitated the lawsuit this year. And we're the only state in the nation to get everything we're owed, plus additional interest, plus additional money to the general fund, plus all of our attorney's fees and costs paid. So the timing was right. We didn't want to do piecemeal litigation anymore. And as I said, the big part of this settlement is that never again will the tobacco companies withhold money from Montana. And that in the next 10 years is worth another $55 million, which is badly needed money that the state budget can use.
You know, I talk about, I know you're term limited in that position after 8 years. You've been a really good attorney general for us all. And you're not done in public service. I know it. I just get it in your heart that you're going to continue to serve Montana in some fashion or another. And I want to look back at some of the things that you have done. But this had to feel like a pretty good parting gift for the people of Montana, Tim.
Right. Well, the timing couldn't have been better because of COVID-19, obviously. A lot of this money is earmarked for health-related programs, which is important, particularly health insurance for kids whose families can't otherwise afford health insurance. It's a great way to go out. You know, I'm proud of all that we've accomplished in my time as Attorney General, and we've done it all working with many, many different people and organizations over the years. We didn't do it alone. I certainly didn't do it by myself. I wish I could continue to be Attorney General. I love this job, but you're right. I'll find ways to continue to serve Montana. But I'm happy to have left a legacy of good work, along with my team and all those, outside of the Department of Justice who have worked with us over the years. Thank you, Montana, for this opportunity. I'm grateful.
Tim, that's, again, you're so appreciated around here, and we look forward to having you on and continuing our relationship here. I've got less than a minute in this break, and so I kind of want to tease this up a little bit. So I'm just going to read a comment that you made recently on a press release as you, along with 10 other state attorney generals, filed a lawsuit, a civil antitrust lawsuit. As one of the wealthiest companies on the planet, Google is the monopoly gatekeeper to the internet for billions of users and countless advertisers worldwide. For years, Google has accounted for nearly 90% of all search queries in the country and has used anti-competitive tactics to maintain and extend its monopolies. We'll come back and talk about this case against Google and big tech in just a bit. Elected as Montana's Attorney General in 2012, re-elected 2016 with 36% margin of victory, Tim Fox is with us here, leads the Montana Department of Justice, nearly 800 dedicated employees there. He's the fifth of five children from Hardin, Montana, graduated there from Hardin, and a three-time graduate from the University of Montana with degrees in geology, law, and most recently, a master's in public administration. We talked about that. 2018 was an athlete as well. Big Sky Conference, ran track, and he's an adopted member of Montana's Apsaluka Nation. That's the Crow tribe. I've almost been able to say your Apsaluka name, Tim. It's like Choiki Halusius or something like that.
That's pretty close. That's pretty good. It means spiritual runner. And yeah, you got it pretty close. I'm going to leave it at that.
I think it's very cool. It's very cool, and I've appreciated that. Google, antitrust, you filed a civil lawsuit. Take us into that.
Yeah, so we joined the United States Department of Justice, and as you mentioned, 10 other states in filing a complaint, an antitrust complaint against Google. And as you mentioned, Google has about over 90% of the search queries in the country. And while we were on the break, I went and did a search on my Apple iPad, and it automatically goes to Google. And there's a reason for that, and that's because Google has required many of the technology manufacturers like Apple and Microsoft and others to enter into agreements, exclusivity agreements, where they're the only platform, search platform available from those companies and many others. They've done a lot of that, and what they've done is they've squeezed out any of the competition. I would challenge anyone to try to do a search on any other search engine if you can find one, because Google has basically pushed everybody out of the space. And so we're looking to break up this trust busting, if you will, break up Google. and provide opportunities for Americans to actually have other options for their search engines. This is important because, you know, a lot of the advertising that goes on these platforms has to go through Google because there's no other options. And as you know, you can buy the ability to have your company, organization, or your business come up in a search. And there are other options available that Google sells to businesses and products. And if that's your only option, you can command any price you want. And so it'll be good for consumers to open up this marketplace and to make sure that Google doesn't get into these anti-competitive practices in the future. So that's the goal. This case won't be settled or concluded before I leave the Attorney General's office. So I'm sure that Austin Knutson, the Attorney General-elect, will continue to pursue this matter on behalf of Montanans.
Does this get tied into what we have seen, big tech, over this last election was restricting free speech? Does that all get tied into this, Tim?
Well, it does in the sense that these companies that have monopolistic behaviors, the Googles and Facebooks and Twitters of the world, begin to control our life. First of all, they control a lot of private data about us, much of which we're just not aware of. They know where we've been. They know, you know, when we were born, et cetera, et cetera. And they shop that information around. You know, maybe not so much Google, but certainly some of these other tech platforms, they have used their power and their monopolies, if you will, to pick and choose, you know, what kind of news is going to be shared, who's going to say what. They have infringed on the free speech of many Americans. And so we're looking into that, too. And I know the federal government is as well. And again, that'll be another challenge for the next Attorney General of Montana to take up pick up where we've left off.
Matter of fact, Austin Knutson, I think he's going to be on our program on Friday, so we'll certainly discuss that with him. Tim, just some final thoughts here. I know you've got to go. I wanted to have you talk about the election a little bit, because as you're the NAG president, the National Association of Attorney Generals, you guys made a statement prior to election results regarding the integrity of the election. What are you guys, what's the group talking about now? What's it like across the country?
Sure. So you're right. I'm the president of the National Association of Attorneys General. And over the years, that association has been in existence since 1907. The nation's attorneys general have done a lot of good collaborative bipartisan work. And so what we were striving to do before the election was to kind of interject an even hand, a calming hand, for all Americans, to understand there are things that we can agree on as it comes to election. You may not have liked the outcome of any, you know, national or local race, for instance, but we can all agree that, the law has to be adhered to, that, suppressing the vote, is, illegal and unacceptable, that fraudulently cast votes is illegal and unacceptable, and that we need to wait for the results to be certified, and we can't take to the streets with violence. We certainly can exercise our First Amendment rights. So that's basically our message was, listen, we can agree that we need to have fair and free elections, and that legal votes should be counted and illegal votes should not be counted. But at the end of the day, we need to make sure that we don't resort to violence in America, because that's unacceptable.
Tim, I know you've got to go, and remind people that if you want to catch more on some of these topics, like criminal justice, like victim assistance, working with legislators and issuing opinions, student loan crisis. There's one here when you talk to the Nebraska Attorney General on antitrust enforcement. Go to the People's Lawyer, because that's Tim's NAG, NAAG podcast. A lot of good coverage there on many topics. Tim, can you spend, next time you're here, can you spend a little bit longer?
Absolutely. Let's do a kind of an 8 years in review or something, Tom.
All right. I look forward to working with you on that, and in the future, too, as well. So all right. Thank you for your service, Tim.
Hey, thank you, Tom. Thanks to your listeners. And happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Thank you, Montana Attorney General Tim Fox. All right, Richard Miltenberger is on the phone. We'll talk health care as we come on back after these headlines from Brian Bennett.
The public health officer in Lewis and Clark County is recommending lawmakers participate remotely in upcoming caucuses and orientations set for Wednesday and Thursday at the Capitol Building in Helena. The request from Drenda Neiman comes as caucuses will pick their leadership for the session that will start in January. Governor Steve Bullock released a draft budget for the next 2 years Monday that does not cut essential state services or raise taxes. Bullock's proposal includes a year-over-year increase of 1.6% compared with the previous budget. The Montana Department of Labor and Industry issued just under 20,000 unemployment insurance payments during the week of November 9th through November 13th. The total of over $8 million provided benefits to eligible Montanans. The department continues to encourage anyone who believes that they may be eligible to file a claim online at montanaworks.gov. With Montana News Headlines, I'm Brian Bennett.
We're hearing it all over. It's open enrollment season, so we're going to explore what that means a little bit and then look at some of the options that you have or maybe don't have with health care in Montana. Richard Miltenberger is with us, also a friend of the show. He's the CEO of Mountain Health Co-op. That's a nonprofit, member-governed health insurance cooperative that serves customers in Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming. MountainHealth.coop for more information. Richard, how's it going today?
It's going great, Tom. How's your day going?
Hanging in there, and I appreciate you being on the show. Let's take care of this because we got kind of a short segment here before we kind of get into maybe Obamacare a little bit, the changing landscape of health care. But what's going on over there at Mountain Health Co-op, and what is open enrollment?
So open enrollment comes once a year for individuals. So with an employer plan, sometimes this is also at this time of year. If you're working for an employer, sometimes this is your opportunity to get on the employer plan if they renew on January 1st. But for individuals, open enrollment is November 1st to December 15th, so we're right in the middle. And it's the one time a year you can get on health insurance without having some sort of a special need. So, for instance, if you get married, if you move, those create special enrollment opportunities during the year. But for most of us, this is the one time a year you can get covered. So we're encouraging everybody to get covered, Montana.
And examining their options at this time as well. What are there good options out there for Montana?
You know, there are. Tom, in a lot of states, there have been one or two options under the what you might call Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, individual coverage, and rates have been higher than Montana. We think our rates are high enough, frankly, in Montana, but we've been blessed to have at least three companies every year, three different companies offering coverage, so people have a real choice, and it keeps rates a little more accountable, and I think that's why our rates are a little lower than some of our surrounding states. And so, yeah, there's good choices. Pacific Source, which I heard just had an advertisement on your program, and Blue Cross Blue Shield, and then our company, Mountain Health Co-op. So there's good choices available. And even within that, you have gold, silver, bronze. So people have a choice, and we encourage them to exercise that choice this time of year.
It's good to hear because for quite a while, what's been missing, I think, people have believed that competition across state lines is going to help when it comes to insurance rates. And we just haven't been able to get that done legislatively. I want to come on back, though, Richard. I know it was a short segment here, but we got time on the other side. Because for me, it seems like the landscape of healthcare coverage is changing an awful lot. And it's maybe kind of hard to keep up with for co-ops like yourself or other companies. So we want to talk about rural America. Is it underinsured? What's being done to make a difference in rural America? And other areas of our options when it comes to healthcare in Montana. Richard Miltenberger is our guest. Back with more in a bit.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 1-866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana, with Tom Schultz.
You know, we talk about Obamacare. It is the law of the land, but I don't understand it really over the years. It seems like it's pretty big old clunky steamer. It's not really a schooner, so to speak, that's sleek. And so it leaves a big wake. And I think medical companies, insurance companies, hospitals, they've had a time in understanding it and making it work for their clients and individuals and patients. So we'll talk about that here in just a little bit, the changing landscape for medical insurance because of Obamacare, but mostly focus on rural America here. Welcome back. I'm Tom Schultz here on Voices of Montana, two decades strong, working on three. Of course, the ACA, Obamacare is right now in front of the Supreme Court. So maybe we can talk about that a little bit as they're deciding whether to strike down a portion of the law or the entire law, which from early indications, it's unlikely that the Affordable Care Act is going to be entirely struck down. But Richard Miltenberger, our guest, CEO, Mountain Health Co-op. He's also chairman of the board of the Montana Chamber of Commerce. Spoke with him a while back in that position, mountainhealth.coop, for more information. Hey, Richard, again, thanks for being here. You know, we talk a little bit with every guest about COVID-19. You guys actually, your company had a premium refund because of the pandemic.
We did. You know, we just know that a lot of our members have been suffering. This has been a tough year, and we thought it was the right time to do a credit, as you would call it, on the premium. So premiums are basically refunded 10% of premium for November and December, and we thought it was the right thing to do to help out our members in a tough year.
Also, there was something else that I saw here, new benefits, including covering insulin. That's key.
You know, Tom, it's crazy. In the insurance business, for decades, we have been stepping over dollars to pick up pennies. So we make people pay these huge co-pays, deductibles to get insulin, but then we'll pay thousands of dollars to pay for an emergency room visit because a diabetic has been rationing their insulin. And so we've decided to put a stop to that. So for January 1st, most insulins, most asthmatic inhalers, so if you're an asthmatic, you have asthma, you have inhalers, a lot of the cardiac meds, the drugs that keep you out of the hospital are going to be considered preventative, meaning there's no copay, no cost share to the members. So we're excited about this. We think it's going to pay for itself and help our members a great deal. Why not keep somebody healthy instead of, not taking care of their maintenance and have them end up, in a tough situation in the emergency room, which, by the way, costs more. So, yeah, we're excited about that.
I mean, that is, I think, something that's going to have an immediate benefit on health care for people in Montana and keeping the costs lower. So I guess if I ask the question, what are health insurance companies doing to help lower the cost of health care? That would be one circumstance or one answer. What else is out there when you look at what health company or what health insurance companies can do to help lower the cost?
You know, one of the things we're doing is working closely with the hospitals. Hospitals have had a tough year, and yet they've been willing to come to the table. And we've seen hospitals be very reasonable in terms of our negotiations with them in their costs. So their costs are what they are, and we need to have health care in rural Montana. But I think everybody's taken a step back with COVID this year and said, hey, what's really important? And so we're delighted to see in our estimation, health costs next year are going to be more moderated because the insurance companies are working closely with the hospitals and I think working together in the interest of the consumers in a way that we haven't seen as much before.
The changing landscape of the insurance industry, or maybe it's just my perception of it, but Obamacare seems to be, it's one step forward, a step sideways, or two steps back. It's before the Supreme Court. Once again, you look at Medicare, the discussion about Medicare for All, but the expansion of Medicare in Montana, which is law here. How does this changing landscape affect our insurance?
You know, it's surprisingly, there's a lot of changes, but the way I describe it is for the folks that it's kind of like going into a restaurant. You go into a restaurant, you sit at the table, everything's calm and quiet. There's a candle on the table, but you know that in the back there's cooks and dishwashers and servers that are running around like crazy. But once they come out to serve you, it's all calm and collect. So there is a certain amount of, complexity to the Affordable Care Act in the background. But I'd say from the consumer standpoint, it's working pretty well in Montana. Most of our members are receiving that tax credit or subsidy for coverage. So most of our members are paying about 20 to 30% of the total premium. People think, well, I'm going to get a faith-sharing ministry plan, or I'm going to get a short-term medical But those don't come with a subsidy. So for most people in Montana, you can actually buy an Obamacare policy with any of the three companies and pay only a fraction of the total cost. So there's an opportunity there. Would encourage everybody to, this is open enrollment, get out, find out what the cost is, call a local insurance agent, and get yourself covered.
Rural America, let's switch gears there. Richard Miltenberger is with us, CEO, Mountain Health Co-op. There was talk as the legislature in that last session voted to expand Medicare for some Montanans, that the rural hospitals were lobbying hard to get that passed because it was funding that was critical to them. We talk about a rural America, it's because there's a lot of people maybe underinsured in rural America. What can be done to make a difference for our rural Montanans?
You know, it's super important that people use the health care in their community when they can and use it wisely. You know, in Montana, yeah, Medicaid expansion has helped. Getting people covered helps because it's not the trip, you know, the one trip to the hospital that, you know, the emergency room that's going to bankrupt somebody. It's, you know, when it's your day in the barrel, right? We all have that day in the barrel, 1 year out of 10 or 20 where, you know, there's a significant expense. And if people get themselves covered, make sure they're covered, then those expenses won't be chalked up to charity care by the hospitals. And we'll keep our hospitals open. And that's what's so important is keeping access to care in all of rural Montana.
I don't want to put you on the spot here, but there was some argument that you could find other ways to help our rural hospitals without a big government subsidized program. Do you have some thoughts on that? What do rural hospitals need outside of maybe this Medicare package that's going to help them?
Well, you know, again, I would say get involved. If you're in a rural community, get involved where you can in your healthcare system. You know, if you have the opportunity to serve on a hospital board, these are folks, these small hospitals that need our help. And, you know, I don't know that there's a financial fix that's going to solve rural healthcare in America. But I think, again, I hate to be a broken record on this, Tom, but one thing people can do is make sure that they and their family are covered because those big expenses, you know, it's great. The hospital may say, hey, we understand you can't pay the $50,000 bill. Can you pay $100 a month? Well, guess what? Those expenses all end up going into the total cost of healthcare. And if people will just stay covered, then I think and now we have every opportunity, right? There's the Medicaid expansion. There's, you know, affordable coverage for many people. Take advantage of what's out there so that your local hospital doesn't end up footing the bill when you have a tragedy.
Thank you for that. We do have a lot of subsidizing of our health care because health care is expensive. I think every country around the world has to subsidize their health care in one fashion or another. Or am I wrong about that? Is our future going to be subsidizing health care continuously?
You know, we have in our country, we probably have the greatest percentage for a large industrial country, greatest percentage of private pay. That is individual citizens, employers paying for health care. In most countries, there's a higher percentage of government pay, one fashion or another. And it's not perfect. It is working. I think we all need to come together to figure out a better way to finance health care, but it's not going to happen overnight, and it's going to happen everybody coming to the table. So that's what I'm hoping in Montana we can begin to do is bring the drug companies, the hospitals, the insurance companies, the employers together, consumers, and try to find a way so that here's what's happened this year. I won't go on about this, but we have COVID that's hit. And because of COVID, a lot of physicians are actually really hurting because sick people or people that are afraid of catching the disease aren't going to the physician's office, right? So we have a system of care where the money stops right when we need health care the most. And we've got to figure out a way to provide an ongoing financing. I think there's some ways we can do it. And we just need to put our heads together. And in Montana, we have a way of getting things done. So I hope the new legislature coming into town in a couple of months that this is a priority, is fixing our healthcare finance system.
Yeah, boy, and I can appreciate that, too, as you mentioned about bringing them all together. One of those components, as you mentioned, is going to be government, and government will change. So I'm curious to the industry's reaction to this most recent election here. We'll come on back and talk more. Richard Miltenberger is with us, CEO of Mountain Health Co-op. We'll talk here in just a little bit about the industry's reaction to the election. But Richard, there was something here that just broke, I saw, and thanks to Josh Rath for pointing this out. Amazon jumps into the pharmacy business with online prescription fulfillment and free delivery for Prime members. I'll have to look into that, but we talk about that that changing landscape a little bit. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I just heard that myself, and very exciting stuff. You know, I'm actually a big fan of small rural pharmacies, so I've got a little I'm a little bit conflicted here, but I think that for so many Americans that are already buying their medications through one of the great, you know, one of the big chains, you know, the Walgreens, the CVSs, the Walmarts, why not have more competition? We need more competition in healthcare. Amazon is a tough competitor, and, you know, more power to them. You know, as long as we don't have a monopoly, we just seem to have lots of choices. And so I was kind of excited to see a new player. Drugs are overpriced in this country. Everybody knows it. We need to do something about it. And kudos to Amazon if they think they can get the price point lower.
Some would say, Richard, that drugs are overpriced because insurance companies are paying for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, the third-party effect certainly has an element here. That's why you see drug companies, they want to keep their drugs on patent because if they lose that opportunity, you know, their opportunity to charge as much they do goes away. So we have a broken system. I've just got to be honest, especially regarding pharmaceuticals, drugs. So, you know, the quicker we can get away from that broken system, the better. And so I don't know what that new solution is going to be, but right now what we have is not working. We're paying twice what we should for our drugs in this country. And frankly, it's time for people to rise up and say, I've had enough.
We've kind of addressed that at times when we talked about prescription drugs. You know, there is a large cost up front, and it can take years as well. But let's kind of conclude here about the health insurance industry's reaction to the national election, but also on local levels. Maybe I made too much of it, but I think it's kind of hard to look down the road because the landscape changes an awful lot with elections and various other things as well. What's the industry thinking?
I would say that the insurance industry at a global level, the largest companies, I think, do not play a helpful role here. The giant insurance companies are some of the major contributors, like Big Pharma, to the big dark money PACs and trying to keep a status quo. And so, you know, our feeling is that, you know, we don't have a, you know, we love them all, right? We love them all. We think we can work with whoever comes into office in Helena and D.C. But whoever it is, we think they need to take healthcare as a priority and say, number one, it's broken. Number two, how can we improve it? Not make it worse, make it better.
How long has this insurance co-op model been around?
You know, about 10 years. Our company was founded in December of 2010, and it was in reaction to the Affordable Care Act. And so been around about 10 years, and we've got about 20,000 Montanans that we're serving today. And we happen to have had, you know, a good run of things. Some of the co-ops around the country did not, Tom, but in Montana, we made it work. We wanted a solution that would provide competition, and that's what we did.
Well, and I think it's had an effect on our health insurance overall. So I'm a fan of the co-op model. Richard Miltenberger, thank you for coming on and offering some expertise. Again, thanks for the premiums refunded. Thanks for covering insulin with new benefits, and thanks for being on. We'll talk to you again, okay?
Thanks, Tom. Have a great day.
Richard Miltenberger, CEO, Mountain Health Co-op. That does it for today. Josh Rath, our most excellent in-studio engineer. I'm Tom Schultz. See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.